this morning. The authors have followed that theme. You know, the theme for the quarter is the sovereignty of God. Today, the authors are going to talk about it from the perspective, God's sovereignty, from the perspective of the mountain of God. We were introduced to it last week. And in this prophetic utterance of Isaiah, that master, that major prophet, prophets among prophets, he's going to share some stuff with us continually. Matter of fact, it's really a continuation of last week's lesson. We found that there was peace in the kingdom. And there was peace because Christ had come back. And we closed last week's lesson, Sister Nikita, with children playing with the deadliest of snakes and not even being afraid because there was peace. Today, I think Brother Mercer mentioned in his prayer that it is 9/11. It's a day of remembrance, but it's a day that we can't dwell on. We remember simply because of those that lost their lives and are no longer with us. But we must remember that it is appointed once the man to die and then the judgment. 9/11 is no more tragic than the years in which we killed 1.5 million folk. It is no more tragic than the year after year that we abort the thousands and hundreds of thousands of babies. It is no more tragic than in the inner city that we kill someone every hour of every day. We need to remember that. And we need to remember that the reason that we are in the condition that we are in, Sister Brenda, is because of sin. But there is hope, because Isaiah comes by, stops by Fred, just to tell us for a little while that there is one that's coming back. There is one, you know the story, Isaiah is telling us what Paul wrote to us in Thessalonians. He said, there will be the dead in Christ shall rise first, and there shall be a rising of all those who have gone on, and Christ himself will come back and catch up. The church literally will be caught up, and they will go back to be in with him. And at the very end of that rapturing will begin a period called the tribulation, that period that is going to last 7 years, 3.5 years of so-called good time, Sister Gwen, and 3.5 years of sheer terror, terror like you've never seen before. You haven't seen any bad actors, and you don't want to see the kind of bad actors that are going to show up in this period called the tribulation. But last week in chapter 11, Sister Vanessa, Isaiah told us that that same Jesus who caught up the church, who the dead in Christ got up from out of their graves, that same Jesus who performed the resurrection of all the saints is going to come back, and he's going to engage in warfare. And when the warfare is concluded, the devil and his diminutive demons will reside in a place, not their permanent place, but they will be put in prison. See, this is what we learned last week, but I got to catch you up, because if you don't get last week, you may miss this week. So we see the devil has been captured, put in prison, and last week Isaiah says, and for 1,000 years. Folk, many of us would pray for 1,000 days. 1,000 hours, 1,000 minutes of peace. Because in this world, there can't be any peace. No real peace. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace.
Amen.
Oh, let me tell you, you don't even have a modicum of peace without Jesus. But Isaiah told us last week, Sister Melba, that for 1,000 years, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to sit on his throne, and there ain't going to be anything that disturbs peace. That there will simply be peace. Now, wait a minute. You know, when I was a child, there was a song that I could hear my grandmother used to hum, Sister Marshall, and it went something like this. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. Now, peace in the valley. Someday there would be peace in the valley. In your valley of despair, there will be peace.
Say that.
Someday. That someday, according to the writers in Hebrew, is now. Because he says, if you have peace with God, you have the peace of God. And see, but the peace of God now, without Christ physically ruling, cannot be even compared to the peace that we experienced last week. Last week, there was peace. Ronald Reagan, one of y'all favorite presidents, said once that the absence of peace is not the absence of conflict, but the means of how you deal with the conflict. See, that's what I call an anthropological perspective on life. In other words, that's man's perspective on life. And what Ronnie didn't understand is that there ain't really no peace. How you deal with that peace only satisfies the mind, only dips in the practical steps of living this day to day. But in reality, you can deal with peace any way you want to, and there will always be conflict, and as long as there is conflict, there ain't no peace. But last week, in the lesson last week, it says that God will have total peace. And you know why? Because there ain't going to be no conflict. So what definition, whose meaning of peace are you going to accept? Ronnie's or God? God says that there will come a time when Jesus is ruling on the throne, there won't be no conflict. In other words, all the folk will be saying yay, 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 and there won't be no nay. Because if there's nay, there's conflict. The little kids are going to play with scorpions and snakes and won't be afraid. Bears and lions will lay down together. Bears, lions, tigers will lie down together and will not be afraid. You know why? There won't be no conflict.
Right.
See, the only time that there's conflict is if you intend to do me harm. The bear, the lion won't be planning to have lamb chops. So there will be no conflict. There will be peace. Now I want y'all to go back with me, because I'm right there. Lessons here. I want y'all to look at verse 9. Verse 9 of chapter 11. And read that for me all together. Verse 9 of chapter 11. You don't have to even go to your Bibles. You can go to last week's lesson. It's the last verse we did. All right. Now, what did they say?
They shall not hurt, not destroy on the holy mountain, but the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters of the sea.
Verse 9 suggests, Gary, that if you really knew God, there would be no conflict. God, in his holy mountain, is the mountain in which Jesus is going to be residing that 1,000 years that Isaiah is predicting. It says here, they shall not hurt nor destroy any on my mountain. Oh, what a blessing. Knowing that I could wake up tomorrow and there would be no conflict. There would be no hurt. That's going to be a great time. And what Isaiah 25 and verses 6, actually it starts off in verse 1, talks about is how we need to praise God for what he's going to do. For the peace that he's brought. And for the things that won't plague us anymore. That's enough. You know, because when you get up in the morning and you thank God for being here, but you don't know whether or not you're going to be here in the next breath. That's rough. That's rough. It's rough only if you don't know him. I'm here to tell y'all that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You win. You have won. That's why the Hebrew writer in 12:2 says, you experience that right now. Every Christian, everybody who knows God has that peace that transcends all understanding. When all the rest of the world is mourning and going crazy and acting all aberrant, you just got peace. Yeah. It's like those days when I ain't feeling too good and I don't want to engage crazy folk. I'm very mellow on those days, Gary. You know, you won't hear me contesting anything, T. When they get crazy, I just throw up my hand. Y'all go on now. You ain't gonna bust my heart over this stuff, you know. Go right on. That's peace. But let me show you. How did he do it? How did he bring about that peace that we were shouting about last week? That we're praising him about in verses 1 through 5. How did he do it? Let's see. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 25. What does it say? Now, you know what, guys? I'm telling you. Y'all read that like y'all was scared. I mean, it's just an observation. But that right there, that verse there, that verse 6, there. That's shouting time. Oh, that's shouting time. Let me tell you, because you said, no, wait a minute, Brother Sneed, I'm a little disconnected here. You just asked the question, how did God do it? Verse 6 tells you. God says, you ain't seen no party until peace has come. He's going to have a whole big party. And it's that same party that John the Baptist, John saw on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation. That big party, that hallelujah party, that party in which the church is with her groom, he's going to throw the banquet of all banquet. Iris Harris can't plan a reception like the banquet that he's going to. And Nikita Williams can't cook up enough spaghetti that will, make the test buzz, you know. You ain't seen nothing. He has just described even the menu that's going to be at the banquet. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, I got this thing. Y'all may not want to roll with me, but I'm rolling with this thing this morning because I see a time that Isaiah sees now. It's even clearer to me than it was to Isaiah. Because Isaiah never saw, never experienced what I've experienced. See, I'm closer to that coming back than Isaiah was. Isaiah was way back here. But we all are a little bit closer. And we can see the kind of God that God is. God says, first of all, when Jesus is on the throne and ruling, there's going to be a big banquet. And y'all listen to this. He says that the Lord of hosts will make unto all his people. That means everybody. Here, Isaiah didn't have a mission to the Gentiles. He was a Jewish prophet. But here he says, Isaiah can see, he says, man, there's some of everybody at this banquet. Man, this is something else. He said, everybody is there. Everybody is there. People from all nations is there. And look, they are feasting on the fatted things. Now, I know you bourgeois, nourishment, sensitive, you know, politically correct folk saying, well, man, that ain't too cool. You know, all this fat that they're going to serve. But you got to understand the perspective. Isaiah was talking to folk who understood what that meant. Because he knew one thing. That, the fat in the meat that was sacrificed was considered the delicacy. In other words, you had to have fat with all that lean. See, we go in there now, we ask for that, what that stuff that they call brisket. Yeah. Give me lean, make it lean. But there's some that still walk in, you know. They said, look here, leave some fat in there. You know, give me some a little fat. And some ask for a little extra fat because that's good. They know what they're talking about. They know that's what makes it good. You know when you take stricoline, you take stricoline and, oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about, too. Oh, I'm just talking about fat back. That's all I'm talking about. You know, you put it in there. Stricolines will make collard greens mean. You know, you put a little fat in it. That's what's going on. You know, but here Isaiah's trying to describe the best of the best of food is going to be served at the banquet for the best of the best of the people. Y'all don't hear me? Some kind of banquet. When Jesus knows how to throw a party. He's going to show you how to throw a party. You think you've been having a good time? You ain't had no good time. Till Jesus is ruling in his mouth. I see something else there. It says there's going to be feast of wine of lees. Woo, that Jesus is somebody else. He says that at the banquet, it ain't gonna be no Boone's Farm, sir. Ain't gonna be no Captain Morgan. Ain't gonna be no Chablis Air de Blanc. It's gonna be stone good wine. Because the lees was that part of the wine of the grape that was left over that gave it strength of flavor. And so what we see here is that Jesus is gonna have good food and good wine. And we can all eat, drink, and be merry. Have a hallelujah party at the banquet. You said, well, Brother Sneed, so is that how there's going to be this peace? Because Jesus gives a party? Or you going somewhere? All you got to do is keep reading. Because he said, and y'all read with me, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all the people and the veil. The reason why you can have so much fun at the greatest banquet in the world is that Jesus is going to remove all the darkness. See, it ain't nothing worse than having a party in the dark. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all ain't ready for me. See, I know you little mannish boys, when y'all were growing up, used to go to the party. You remember they used to get them parties, Harry, down in our neck of the woods. They'd have a party, and Mary Wells be singing in the background. I see the lights. I see the party lights, red and blue and green. You know, Mary Wells used to sing that. And the little mannish boys, Brother Anderson, would go and hit the lights. Because they love the darkness, because they could do their foolishness in the dark. But Jesus here says, at the banquet, There ain't going to be nothing but light. Because all the covering, the veils, the things that hindered you from having experienced a real good time, a real peace, is going to be destroyed on this mountain. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, I got to go way back. I got to go back to the Tribble years. There was a group called the Dramatics. And they had a song. Hey, you. Get off my mind. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Because I got this thing. Jesus says, hey, you. Hey, darkness. Hey, demons. Hey, devil. Get off my mind. Jesus is going to destroy anything that has hindered us. See, that word uncovering and veil, it's like it says that the world is tightly bound. There's a covering that's tightly. But in addition to the tightening woven darkness, there is a veil. There is a loosely woven spider web, if you would. In other words, you're bound and there's a sack of a spider web. So when are we catching so much hell? We can't breathe. We can't get out. There's darkness. But on the mountain where Jesus is ruling, he's going to say, devil, get off my mountain. Get off. Loose. Get away from here. And that's how you can experience the joy. Because you're no longer hindered. You're no longer encumbered on the mountain where there's peace. See, the reason why there is peace is that God has destroyed all the hindrances, all the conflict. He's removed all of that. And he says, by the way, if you didn't catch it in that verse, try this one. Verse 8 says, y'all don't want to claim that? Because that's the meat of the potatoes. I like potatoes. I can't eat potatoes. But I love meat. I ain't giving up the meat. I trim maybe some of the fat off it, but I ain't giving up the meat. I'm carnivorous extraordinaire. I'm going to eat the meat. Okay? And you say, well, Bruce Need, is all that healthy for you? I win either way. I done ate what I wanted to eat. And I said, but you know that stuff could kill you. I'm going to be with the Lord. The devil ain't on this mountain. He ain't covering me from nothing. He ain't hindering me from nothing. Everything that's mine has got to be mine. Because in that day, that's what Jesus is showing you. Everything that has been denied you before, that won't happen. And one of the main things that have bound us, that has hindered us, is a word called D-E-A-T-H. That death can put a damper. That death has some people not studying this week. Because they had to deal with that thing called death. And we don't like. See, but on 9-1-1, that's what it was. It was a day of death for some. It was a day of deliverance for others. Because what it demonstrated was that no matter what the devil attempts to do on 9-1-1, there's always a 9-1-1. You can always reach out to God in all your despair. Say y'all didn't hear. Because those that are in the Lord went on to be with the Lord on that day. And we can still celebrate. But we can celebrate, Rob, because of what Jesus has already done. Are y'all with me? 1 Corinthians 15:54. Yeah, somebody run there. I know it's there. I know it's there, because 1 Corinthians 15:54 was simply quoting what Isaiah was saying. This is why there is peace, because a clause there says, he will swallow up death. Y'all there? Are you there, Terry? You there? Could you read that for me? Read it real loud for 1554. It's good enough.
When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable,
mm-hmm.
and the mortal with immortality,
uh-huh.
and the saying that is written will come true,
uh-huh.
death has been swallowed up in
victory. Woo! Y'all about it. Woo! Wait a minute. So, maybe the Hebrew writer's right. Maybe we got that now. Because we know on one Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago, Jesus the Christ, you know, the one that came down, born in a manger on the backside of a barn, you know, studied under the great teachers, was the teacher himself, extraordinaire, then went on to the cross, died, and then got up and declared that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, who declared down there in Hades, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? Hey, I know where your death is. I know where your victory is. Death is in my mouth. I swallowed it up. That's why there's peace. Because death should not dominate your life anymore. You need to be about living, because death has been swallowed up. And in that day, it is the ultimate fulfillment. Jesus declared it. Jesus stated, we don't want to live it. But in that day at the banquet, you're going to look out. So I wonder who's going to be here tomorrow. Everybody. It'll be for the first time certainty that everybody that's there now, it's going to be there tomorrow. Because death will have no place with you. Yeah. It has been swallowed up. The victory of death has been taken, snatched from, Paul put it this way, that he snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil. Took it away from him. In other words, took back dominion. That dominion that was yours and that we lost in the garden, Jesus done snatched it back.
Yeah.
And when you ain't got no devil, you ain't got no conflict, you can't have nothing but peace. The reason why you and I are conflicted with one another is because we do more listening to the devil than we do Jesus, the Word of God. And so if you really want peace now, stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to the devil or any score. When somebody come to you with a whole bunch of mess, tell them, that ain't my message. So I ain't dealing with that mess, so I'll have the right message. Lord, deliver me from folk who want to continue the conflict because they want to keep listening to the devil and instead of the Word of God. Jesus has swallowed up death. You remember over in Hebrews 9, it says it was appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. Here, you see Jesus sitting on a righteous throne, saying, there ain't gonna be no death on this mountain. Devil, get off my mountain. Death, get off my mountain. Deceit, get off my mountain. Destruction, get off my mountain. And see, when there's none of that, that's why there's so much harmony. That's why you're going to have a good time in the party. Because death, victory has been swallowed up. And the Lord God will shout, folks. All of y'all, if you want to, you can break out and start shouting right now. All of you want to, because this one sees is what I've been looking for. Let me tell you one thing. All those tears that you've wetted your pillow with every night, night after night, you know, worrying about some hard-headed child, worrying about some bewildered spouse, worrying about some impotent leader, some misguided pew member, it's going to all be done away with. Because right there it says, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. That means that whatever you've been dealing with or thought you dealt with, you won't deal with that no more. That's gone. He's going to wipe. In other words, the hand of God takes out the handkerchief of grace. Y'all didn't hear me? You was wondering how those tears got wiped away? He uses a handkerchief called grace. And he wipes those tears. You want to cry. You thought you should cry. But there ain't no more tears to cry. Because he done wiped away. I mean, and the handkerchief of grace, when it wipes tears, it eradicates them. In other words, it says there won't be no more tears. Because you ain't got nothing to cry about. Y'all don't hear me? Because I think there's a bit, another and, that's separated by, you know, that semicolon, means that they're joined. He says, not only will there be no tears, you know all those haters? You know all those folk that rebuked you, called you the fool, said that you were crazy for following this Jesus? How did you get caught up with this Jesus mess? How you spend all your Sundays on football Sunday, you know, worrying about church and men, talking about you doing ministry, you going to teach a Sunday school. Don't you realize today you could have just stayed home? You ain't feeling that good. You know, why don't you just stay home today? You know, you a chump. You know, you're going out there, you know, leaving all you got on the court. You know, you're just crazy. In that day, all the rebuke shall be taken away. Mm-hmm. And this is what they're going to say, white. Man, you sure was smart. Man, you went out there, you had a message every day. Oh, you had a way of interacting with people and sharing God's grace with people. You, my sister, you stood on the door and you greeted God's people. And you, my brother, you taught God people. And you, my brother, you ministered. You took care of God's people. You, my brother, my sister, you shared with people the grace and the goodness of God. Oh, you were some kind of smart. And you know why they've been saying that? Because they realize what Paul said over in chapter 2 of Philippians. Says, and in that day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. That Jesus, you were right. you were right and we were wrong. That's what Isaiah said it 700 years before Jesus was born. That in that day, all the rebuke, all the haters, they're going to have to eat their words. Because the handkerchief of grace would have rasped all your tears. They said, look, man, I tell you, they ain't crying no more. They over there partying. They over there eating fatback and candy gas. Man, sure wish we had some. We starving down here in prison. Because remember, they locked up. Ain't going to be no haters in that day. And let me tell you, that's enough to rejoice. When you ain't got people constantly biting on your neck, that's enough to rejoice. Oh, just a promise of that makes me happy, folks. Let me tell you, you know, there's some folk around here, they critical no matter what. They on your neck no matter what. You do right, you're doing wrong. You do wrong, oh, you're doing it the wrong way. And the rebuke shall be taken away from all the earth. Mm-hmm. And the issue that solidifies, that makes me happy. Now, all that before that, You know, death's gone, rebuke, no more haters. But we can be assured because of what Isaiah says in this one little phrase, because God said it. Sister Hardin, how much better would we be if we would just say, God said it. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm saddened many times because torture is when you know something, but yet you won't do something. That's torture. I've said it many times. A great mind in torture is a great mind that knows better and can't do anything about it or won't accept the knowledge that it has, the great mind has. God said it. That settles it for me.
Yeah. Say that. Say that.
The joy that I have is because of what God has said in His Word.
Say that. Say that.
That's why the psalmist could write, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to rejoice in it because God says that I can rejoice. Because Jesus has declared that death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. And now those that are hooked to Him now have a hope that there's a bright side somewhere. Every day, in our darkest moments here, and 9/11 was certainly a dark day. But you know what? Like I said earlier, it's a dark day when I turn on my television set and find out that little girls have been murdered. They've been battered. Babies, a boyfriend of his girlfriend hits a baby so hard that it busts the baby's aorta. Come on, Mercer. That's a dark day. But there will be peace in the valley. See, I'm in the valley of despair, but I have peace because I know what God says. God says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That all the darkness that covers the world is going to be eaten up, swallowed up. And you know what you can do? You can embrace that. You can rise above the fray. You can say, I ain't fooling with that foolishness. No, 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 no. I tell you what, I'll just sit down. Y'all want to do that? I'll sit down. Y'all want to say that? I'm going to sit down. But I'm going to stand for what God says. Because God says, one day, ain't going to be no more time of foolishness, friend. See, that's what we can look. That should make you happy. You know, that one day. You know, that if today, the flame of life that flickered so bright in my life is blown out. You can say, He with the Lord. He's gone on. No more hurt. No more tears. No more spraying every night your pillow with tears because it's been wiped away. There are a lot of things that bother us, and rightfully so. But none of us, none of that should take our eyes off of Christ and what He has said in His Word. Christ said in His Word, because you know He's the Word. At least that's what the Johannine Scripture tells us, that in the beginning was the Word. Y'all was wondering how I'm going to get that in there today, didn't you? But here's what the Word says. The Word says in this life there will be trials and tribulations. But in that same word, Isaiah, according to Isaiah and John, He's going to swallow all that junk up and there will be peace. And if you just trust Him and what He said, you can have a lot of peace. You can have a lot of peace. Oh, verse 9, and then we can go, guys.
Lo, this is our God.
top. In that day, here's what you're going to say. Here's what they're going to say. Here's what all of us are going to say. Woo, go God. Ooh, you are some kind of God. But you're not only some kind of God, you are our God.
Yeah.
What if we could all could say that right now? It's our God that's sovereign. It's our God who's got this thing. God has got this thing. In that day, there ain't nobody going to be saying, well, I wonder who's doing all this. Hey, look here. Can somebody tell me who's throwing this party? You know why nobody has to ask that, Rob? It's because all ignorance will be obliterated too. Told you last week, everybody that's at this party will have a full knowledge of God. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You will know God as he's already known. God will know you as you are already known. All the questions that you have, you'll be sitting up there saying, oh, man, what a party. You won't be having no Bible study. You won't be sitting around talking about, well, I wonder what God was thinking when he did such and such. Well, you know how them Bible studies y'all be having now. Let me tell you one thing. If you want to know what God thinks about something, read his word. Because to read his word is to know his word. And when you know his word, a lot of things don't bother you. End times don't bother me. Antichrist don't bother me. Oh, but Brother Sneed, isn't it bad that you don't have to be wearing the 666? Oh, you may be wearing it. But Brother Sneed ain't going to be wearing it. Brother Sneed ain't going to be here during the rapture. Because Brother Sneed taught evangelism now for some 25 years. And he knows that only the Antichrist is going to show up in the tribulation. And the last time I checked, according to the word, according to what God says, we ain't going to be here. That's enough to give me peace right there. No, I ain't got to fool over that mess.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a bad ticker and have to go through the tribulation? Imagine having bad eyesight and having to go through the tribulation. Can you imagine having bad feet and having to go through the tribulation? No, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, look at God.
Yeah.
Every day. You know, Pastor Neve, I saw you the other day, and you didn't appear to be on your best game. I said, but God. Oh, look at God. Don't look at me. If you look at me, you're looking at the wrong yardstick. Look at Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith. Look at him and listen to what he has to say. You know what? I don't feel as good as I used to, but I don't feel no way tired. Not yet. I'm going to run on a little bit longer. Sweat a little bit harder. Do what I got to do. Because in that day, we will say, it will be said, this is our God. We have waited for him. Let me tell you something, folks. Please don't sit around in your nice homes, your beautiful churches, your wonderful jobs, and just wait on Jesus. That ain't the waiting that you hear. Let me tell you something. OTD described it like this. Yeah, y'all know TD, Jake, years ago. He's down at, before he got big. See, he's down at New Creation. He used to come at New Creation. For nothing. I ain't wrong. Y'all know I ain't wrong. Y'all know I ain't wrong. But here's what TD said in one of his presentations. He said, when you wait, I think he was preaching out of 40. We're gonna do that one too. for those who wait on the Lord. That waiting is not like sitting in the room, waiting room or the emergency room, waiting. Waiting is serving. We have served the Lord. We've done what he asked us to do. And now we sit with him, partying, eating fat back, stickily. I ain't gonna let y'all forget it. Because we served him. We weren't worrying about, oh, Lord, come on back here. I'm in trouble, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you right now. I need thee. Oh, Lord, no. Go to work. Serve the Lord. And in the fullness of time, when the time is right, the trump will sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we shall be caught up with him. Those bodies that were in the grave will meet a one-to-one correlation with the spirits that are coming back. Because you saw him on a white horse of glory, but I saw all of those spirits that were with him coming back. That's us, folks. If we going on. And then we're going to sit down at the banquet table. We used to sing a song here at Resurrection. It was the time that Ron Smith, who's now deceased earlier this year. You remember that we're going to sit at the welcome table?
Yeah.
Woo! That's where we're going to be. We're going to be at the banquet table, taking it all in, saying, this is our God. This is the one that we've worked, we've served, we've been waiting on. We have, and he will save us. That's why we're so happy. He saved us from all this despair, all this delay, all this ill temperament. He has saved us from this. And he will continue to save us. That will save there, that's glorification. We're sitting down at the picnic table. But we're still waiting on our glorified bodies so that we can be with him forever. And we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest. Y'all got to get this. Go. Oh, man, I see it now. I said, you saw that. Before you see this, see that. Do you remember over in Genesis? And it says on day one, God made. And on day two, God made. And on day three, God made. On day four, God made. And day five, God made. And day six, God said, this is good. This is very good. And on day seven, God rested. Come here, John. John said, Trill, I saw the Lord. I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. I saw creation being recreated. And God did what he did way back at the beginning. When he created all that was good and very good, he rested. It says, when God has ruled and super ruled and brought all to us that was promised us, the hand of God rested. But Sneed, what's in that for us? The sovereignty of God is governed by the hand of God. It's demonstrated, rather, by the hand of God. God's hand is always moving and super moving in the affairs of folk. But in that day, the hand don't need to do no more. So the hand of God will rest.